Hey, it's Kenyas from G2 Esports.
Richard Chucks Papillon.
I'm Apex from G2 Esports.
This is Smith.
Hey, this is Buddy from G2.
I'm McKay, and you're here listening to the Center Ring.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Episode 74 coming at you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. I don't want to get ahead of myself, folks, but I think it's going to be the best episode ever.
And the earliest one.
Not true. We did one earlier when you weren't here. We knocked it out like 2 p.m., dog. Speaking of the time, though, it is September 6, 2017, 5:32 p.m. Central Standard Time. The Indian voice you just heard, that was a nooch.
Can you tell I'm Indian by the voice?
Just sound off
just
the sounds,
boat. Do you like feel the curry coming
right,
at you?
Right there.
What's up, everybody?
We also have Brett. Brett, hello, sir.
Coming to you live from the power of the internet.
You sound a little better today, sir.
Yeah.
See how it goes,
thank you, man.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see. We have a wonderful show scheduled for you guys today. We have e-news, as always. Fun stuff to talk about in e-news and touch on. Just don't really have the time to talk about fully, or does it warrant it? We have Overwatch patch notes, balance updates galore. Season 6 has started for competitive play. But, you know, normally we don't talk about patch notes and balances, but I want to talk about this because this will shake the pro scene even. And we'll start the show off with a little bit of CSGO. But first, follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. If you listen on iTunes, go and like the show, leave a review, whatever you feel like you need to do to make sure TCR lives on in perpetuity. We had DreamHack Malmo finish up over the weekend. We talked about it last week because it started on the day of us recording. But it finished up. Pretty good little event, I must say, for a DreamHack Masters event. In the finals, you had a ESL Dallas rematch between G2 and North. Not as much fire going on, though, this time.
Yeah, no yelling back and forth to start off the show. But Malmo's always a big event, so it's a good one.
Now, go ahead, Brett.
I was saying, they've kind of calmed down a little bit. I've watched North the past couple of tournaments, and they just don't talk as much. And I mean, which comes along with winning, right?
It helps when they don't win.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's only fun to talk trash when you
They were winning at ESL Dallas. Between now and then, they weren't winning as
lost
much.
Lost a player.
So that will be the side effect there, the ripple effect, if you will. I want to go through the standings real quick. I know we talked about Virtus Pro, Mousesports, Envious. We talked about them last week. They were eliminated very early on. You have the other, I don't know if you want to call it alarming position, but FaZe Clan ended up getting 9th through 12th. Okay. Mm. Are you guys worried about FaZe Clan? Now, this is literally weeks after finalizing the roster.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anuj, what do you feel on this?
I'm not concerned yet. I mean, it's so early. It's a new roster, new lineup. They have to figure out how to mesh properly. It's hard to say that at the same time when you have five all-stars on your team. Like they don't have much of a grace period before, you know, the outlook on them starts to turn, right? Like they have to do well and have to perform well quickly. But we've seen with other super teams that's not that easy. You have a team like G2 who struggled a lot early on. I mean, they started off 0-8 in ESL Pro League last year. They found their form, and then they slumped again, you know, before their return now. So I think FaZe has more pressure on them. You have a player like Nico, the best player in the world, potentially. You added a star opper. So they don't have many excuses to not perform. and especially to go out in groups. You know, if they lose in the finals or semis, it'd a little be different. Completely different. You know, you're losing to a top 3-4 team at that point, but to lose in groups is pretty inexcusable. They get a little bit of a pass this time around, but that's not going to fly.
Do you feel the same way, Brett?
No, I give them more of a kind of a pass on this one because, well, one, they're playing in a group with Gambit. They just won a major. I know, you know, they're down their in-game leader, but, you know, they're still Gambit. And Nip found a little magic in this group. They look like they're coming back to, you know, old form with the new guys, kind of getting some continuity there. But you also got to give them a pass because the competition's kind of caught up, right? Like, you know, you got SK, you got Astralis, you got, you know, Na'Vi, G2's been together for a while. So, I mean, yeah, they're an all-star team, but there's so much diversity, like parity, mm-hmm. That's the word I'm looking for, in this sport that I give them a pass. You know, give them some time, give them a few tournaments and see what happens.
Now, I want to play devil's advocate here, all right? I don't know if worrying is the correct word. I don't know if you would worry. If you're a FaZe Clan, do you worry? I guess as a fan, yes. However, let's look at this for what it is. You added Guardian and Olifmeister, albeit the names would tell you it's a super team. They were also, though, the only reason they were able to be picked up is because they were kicked off their losing team.
Olaf wasn't necessarily kicked off the team, though. Olaf decided,
but it was also because they weren't performing.
Yeah, they weren't, but that was more as a whole. I put a lot of that on, you know, JW not playing up to par, Crims being, you know, kind of average at best at this point. He's not a star player. You know, Olaf hasn't been the same since his wrist injury. We've all seen that. He's not the best player in the world anymore, but he has the ability to be very, very good. I know we mentioned, like, oh, well, you know, they played in a tournament with teams like G2 and Astralis. Well, they didn't play
these guys,
them.
And these guys are in every tournament, and you're exactly correct.
They lost to Gambit, and they lost to, you know, NIP. And NIP is, granted, on the up and up, but they're still losing to the top teams, right? Like, NIP still lost to the top teams and was shown that, like, a team like Astralis still outclasses them at this point. Gambit, that's a big team to lose to. Like, I get it. Like, I get, like, Gambit just came off of a major win, but they lost their in-game leader, and they put somebody who is rather unknown for the most part in the CSGO scene. Unless you, like, follow their scene that closely, you probably don't know who their new addition is.
It's a big team to lose to with the names.
The big Gambit's carries in the major are still on the team. I mean, you can't, like, discredit.
You can.
Gambit.
You can
but say I think that. You I can like also discredit, to that argument, you can discredit the fact that if you look back to our major recap, we were saying that Gambit shouldn't even have won the major just given the caliber of the team.
Well, they had a little bit of an easier draw in the major to get to where they got to. Zeus performed out of his mind, like leading them to a lot of victories. I feel like losing your in-game leader doesn't get any bigger than that. Like, I mean, what else could you lose that would be a bigger impact to a young team like Gambit? I mean, Adren's been around for a long time, I get that. But for the most part, a relatively young team, comparing it to a team like FaZe, who has a bunch of mature players at the very least, right? Like, these guys have been around.
Yeah,
these guys have been to multiple majors.
Expect.
You know, Olaf's won several majors. Not, you know, Guardian's been to several. So I think it's just less of an excuse for them. And it would have been a good excuse for somebody like Gambit to tank out of this tournament early. And I would have been like, oh, yeah, you know, I give them more of a pass than I would give a team like FaZe.
Like I said, I think down the road, only time will be able to tell, right? Only time will paint this picture further as far as did FaZe pick up two superstars or did they pick up two falling stars, right? Like, you can't just look at the names and think this is a super team. FaZe went the route of building their roster by picking people up. That's how they've done it from day one.
Yeah, they had the money.
Right, when they picked up Nico and everybody else, that's how they made their roster. That's how they made their bed, was by picking up the top players and making it work. Now, though, this is not... what I'm trying to say is throughout the week and everything, I was thinking of the way of how I felt about FaZe. It's not like they adjusted their roster to fix their weaknesses or anything like that. They adjusted their roster because the top two players available, and they picked them up.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying they picked up the best players in the world, right? So don't get me wrong. they picked up upgrades to what they have. So they should perform better in that mindset. But this is still more of like the Lakers picking up Gary Payton and Karl Malone towards the end of their career versus like LeBron James and Dwayne Wade getting together in their primes, right? So I still feel like they have a level of expectation that I don't think they'll ever necessarily meet. But I don't think going out in the groups is also going to be the standard. Like, I don't feel like people will be like, oh, well, you know, FaZe should be a top four team in the world consistently.
And that's where I agree with you, Anuj. I don't think they're going to be getting bounced in groups in the near future. I think they'll be making the stage. It's just they need time. They just need time.
You have Cloud9. They finished same as FaZe 9 through 12 with the Detroit Renegades, who've actually been playing pretty well.
Yeah.
They picked up Naf. He was not with DreamHack Malmo. They picked him up right afterwards. But they did play with NAF on their roster with NRG, and ended up in ESL League, ended up defeating them pretty handily with NAF.
That's a good-looking lineup over there. Stello, Nifty. I mean, Nifty's been playing great. He's done so well for them, and he's like a former COD player, so I feel like that's a hard transition to come from COD into CS. They're just so different, but he's made the transition look fairly easy, and those guys are playing well over there. Fnatic, another team, like, I just don't see them ever really, they're never going to find their stride, in my opinion,
at
this point.
I agree. I think Fnatic has turned into
Cloud9.
I was going to say, the Cloud9 of EU.
Yeah.
That's like, what Fnatic has turned into.
They look good. They have the name brand.
They're an EU favorite.
Yeah, people are going to love them, but they're not good enough to do it.
Looking at 5th through 8th, you had Immortals, Astralis, SK Gaming, and Na'Vi. I know before the show you actually mentioned you kind of circled SK as being a talking point, saying that they just haven't really been performing SK-like lately.
Yeah, so like the standard with them is so different, right? Like,
I mean,
we can all agree.
Getting out of top two, you're like, oh, geez, what happened?
Yeah,
to
like
SK?
If SK is not in the finals, you're kind of like, wait, what just happened here, right? So they've just kind of bombed out of the last couple of tournaments. Granted, they made it past the group stages, which I feel like is easy work for them at this point.
Right.
But they just haven't been in the
big story.
Like, they haven't been in the finals, you know, in the past couple of tournaments. Even the semis, really, you know, they just haven't been SK like. So you kind of wonder what's happening there, if it's motivation or if it's just, hey, we're
the competition getting better.
Yeah, competition getting better. I mean, you kind of seen that in Counter-Strike, but they're losing to top teams. It's just, you know, I feel like it's something to keep an eye on to see if that trend continues or if they find their form.
This is the first tournament with Zeus back in the lineup for Na'Vi. Performance wise, I guess, you know, it's better than what they have been doing.
Yeah. Did it kind of look like the same thing though to y'all?
They looked the same, but I will say from a out of game perspective, whatever you want to call it, they did look like they were having more fun, if that means anything to you.
I was just about to say, what does that mean?
Like, it means absolutely nothing to their end results, but it did look, for whatever reason, they were laughing. Simple, what match was it? There was one match. I'm blanking on the match, but like Simple could have easily killed someone from behind and then went to go knife him. But then the guy turned around real quick and Simple basically just sat there with his knife. The guy pulled out his knife for a little knife fight and then Simple died and they were just laughing about it.
Yeah.
It was a game they ran away with though. Like, it wasn't even close. So I think that's probably
behind
why
the scenes.
Laughing.
There has to be a lot of pressure.
Yeah, one thing I was excited to watch, you know, with Simple making the move to, you know, the main opper was to see that dynamic, you know, op play that he had, you know, when he did it for a little bit with Liquid. Mm-hmm. I didn't really see it. I didn't really see him just being spot on in this tournament with the op. So I was hoping to kind of see flashes. Like, I was kind of like team op for Simple, but now I'm kind of second guessing myself. But.
And now Simple tweeted out about that, saying like he was not performing with the op as well as he wanted to. So he even acknowledged like there was some rust to it.
He missed shots. Yeah. He missed a lot.
With Simple, it's so hard because not only is he one of the best offers, he's one of the best riflers.
Well, and
right?
I said that originally when Guardian left. It's like, yeah, you can make Simple your opper. You are also taking away your best rifler.
Yeah, like it's just like, it's hard.
Pick what you want to do.
And I think op is probably the right choice for that team to have him there.
See, and I disagree.
But then you have to kick another player.
Yeah, and that's kind of the fault of my argument of you know, I'm going to say Simple shouldn't be the main opper. You're going to ask who do I think should be it, and I wouldn't know.
There isn't one is
but
a problem, right?
I just think Simple as a rifler, with how aggressive of a player that he is, you need the more...
You need Flamey to play like the star that he's supposed to be. If Flamey is not performing at a top level, it's not going to work anyway. They're not good enough to rely on Zeus's in-game leading to all of a sudden, hey, we're going to be a badass
team
now. Hey,
now we can hit our shots,
yeah,
like, right?
If Flamey has to be in all-star form, Seized is going to be on this bubble, like this awkward bubble that he is in right now. Like, if he continues to play poorly, he's going to get the boot. I mean, he's already been benched once before. So, yeah, with them, it's just kind of a wait and see. But again, I feel like they're in a really intense situation. Yeah, they're all laughing and all that, but I bet you behind the scenes, there's a lot of pressure there to perform. You know, you are the face of CIS, so... It was exciting to see Nip. I mean, Brett, I know you and me being both, you know, Nip homers in that sense. What did you think of their performance?
I think it was good. You know, it was a good showing. It was a pretty tough group with, you know, FaZe and Gambit there, and they made the stage in their home country. I mean, I just feel like the players are coming together, just like Simple. I feel like, good Lord, Draken, yeah.
You're wishing there.
Like Simple, Draken was missing shots in this tournament that he should have been making. But ultimately, I feel good about the team. Forrest was kind of showing signs of being back. And I'm excited to see what the future
is. I'll admit this. Counter-Strike is better when Nip is good.
Yeah, it's better when Fnatic, Nip, Cloud9, all these
teams
are in the
light. I
felt like
I appreciated the classics. Finally seeing Nip as in a relevant position in this tournament, I definitely thought it was... It's weird. It's almost like you're watching like an oldie, right? It's like the band's back together.
I thought Draken and Rez both were awesome in this tournament, though. Like, I have a little bit of a different take on Draken. Draken, unfortunately, misses some of the easier shots, which they highlight and they, like, show repeatedly over and over again. Yeah. But as a whole, like, I thought Draken performed awesome in the tournament. I thought he was super aggressive. I love how aggressive he is. He had a 2-on-1 on Cash. I can't remember who was it against, you know, who it was against, but you know, he was defusing and he hit a flick shot that was just a top play of the year. I mean, it was just an amazing play. Yeah. I could not believe he hit the shot. I didn't even see the guy on the screen. And so
was that the one you linked me?
Yeah, I think it was the one that took. Yeah. And it was just, I mean, it was just crazy. I thought he played really well. He got outperformed by Kenny S at the end of the day when they went head to head. But still, you know, had a good KD ratio in that match. But I agree. It's fun to see them playing well. And Forrest is Forrest. It's good to see him at the top of his game. Get Right is in that weird situation, though. Like, he needs to find a way to be better.
And going back to Draken, maybe I was a little skewed from the train map when he was playing B side. He just like missing shots, but no, you're right. I'm not worried about him. I'm not worried about
him. Yeah, the young guns look good on that team. It's the older group that's gonna have to like pick it up. They can't fall too far behind with them now, so but good to see him perform well overall.
And now to the two, oddly enough, first and second place, you had North and G2 Gaming. And I say oddly enough because they are the also two teams that I think if you were a fan of, drives you insane. Because they will go from first or second place into a tournament
to
nothing in between.
Yeah.
Just absolutely nothing in between. In fact, just looking at G2, all right, you had first place for ESL Finals. That was back in June. Then they got fifth through sixth for ECS Finals later that month. Then at the... Let's see here. You got to kind of shuffle through because, like, that the qualifier they got
G2's
first and second.
G2's is really weird. Like, looking at their placement matches.
Yeah. For example, the highest they got first at ESL Pro League, and then through three tournaments, big tournaments in between. And keep in mind, they took the entire month of August off. They didn't get over fifth or sixth place.
Yeah.
They got ninth and 11th at the major, third and fourth at the. Oh, those were qualifiers, so ignore that. So it's like in between Dallas and now, they did nothing. Dallas look like a fluke.
They have the talent to be the best team. They have to find consistency, right? That's the hardest part in CS. It's like golf. Like, you have to be on your game. There's too much talent out there, like Brett said earlier. Like, the competition is amazing right now. So if you are not playing at the top of your game, you're going to get knocked out of these tournaments quick. And North, what does North have to do to win a tournament? Like, I feel like they keep making it to semis and finals, but they just can't get over the hurdle. And that's got to be infuriating as a North fan.
Yeah, I mean, name me. Like, if you look just at the overall landscape of CS, really the only team that's been any sort of picture of consistency is Astralis. But name me another team that's been, you know, just super consistent.
Well, you have SK.
Lately.
But even SK is still more to your making
point,
it.
Like, well, more to your point, you said that SK's been slumping. So,
but to their slump,
I mean,
and SK top.
Slump, I should say. I should kind of rephrase that, right? It's not like they're slumping like a Cloud9 not even making it out of the groups. They're like slumping as in they're not making the finals, which is not normal for them, right?
Yeah. But I like the golf analogy because like I feel like your shot in CS is like a golf swing. You could lose it, and it's just infuriating. But, yeah.
So, with that being said, what is the next big thing coming up in Counter-Strike? You have E-League actually starting this week.
Yep.
Group A for E-League. I was going to save this for E-News.
Well, they're all in what? They're all in Greece right now. So, they're all enjoying Mykonos right now. So, they're having a good time.
Yeah, no Optic. They
Optic won today, though. Optic played Splice. Yeah, today, last
they
night,
games,
whenever it was.
Close,
yeah. 2-0 against Splice. So that's
and they're
huge
all in the States now for Optic's roster.
Yep.
So that's.
Yeah, they're in their gaming house.
Yep.
Yeah,
and this is off topic for Malmo, but we'll just use this to wrap up the CSGO and then we'll get into the Overwatch balance updates and patch notes. I think I'm going to watch like every Optic match.
Oh, yeah. I'm
so
intrigued.
It is such an interesting roster where I don't see how you can just blow it off. I mean, looking at the roster, it's just insane to me the amount of
big names, popular players like Bot Alu. You have the King of Banana. You know, you have Majisk. You have HS, who is potentially a star on that team.
Mixwell, the person from before.
Yeah, and they seem refreshed, too. Like, I saw some tweets from Magic, and it was like, hey, you know, I'm happy to be here. NA's great. You know, I'm ready to play some rank S. Who's up for it?
They're right outside of Chicago, so I mean,
and I think
it
will be. Is that where this team house is?
Yeah, they're in Schaumburg, actually, where my cousins live right now. But they're in Schaumburg right now, is where their house is at. So they're
not coming to Dallas.
Well, they're
kind of hoped that we'd see Freiburg.
I think they're moving like their headquarters. I don't think they're moving like their gaming
houses.
Team house.
Okay.
Yeah. So those guys are out in Chicago.
But I think part of the reason they also look refreshed is because what do they have to lose? Like, these were a ragtag bunch of players that just needed an organization. All these EU guys said they're willing to come play in NA if the team was right.
Team and
now,
money.
The irony is that they found a team of all EU players took them over to NA. But we'll take it, right?
Like
they're in NA org.
Yeah, I like that. I like the mixed bunch. I think that's cool.
Think
it makes
great.
It intriguing. And it's something a little new, which maybe you could change the scene a little bit too. You
well,
might
I think
see
it's
going
to increase it better because while they're here in NA, who do they have to practice against? NA teams, and that's only going to improve, you know, Cloud9, NRG, whoever, right?
Maybe something to help our relations with Optic. I'm going to throw them a little shout out. If you don't watch their video logs ever, like Hector does,
good.
Hector does like some awesome video logs that I really, really enjoy watching, and it's just kind of an inside look at the day-to-day life of these CS teams, his COD teams. So just neat. If you enjoy that kind of stuff, go check it out. But yeah, I mean, I really enjoy his content. They do a good job, and he seems like a good guy.
Well, maybe he'll hear that, and it will balance out our relationship.
Good. It
with
could.
Them.
Yeah.
Just like Blizzard is balancing Overwatch.
Ooh.
You like that segue?
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
that
a radio,
awesome.
That's a radio professional
that
for you
great.
Folks. No, so Blizzard, they did, this is actually a couple weeks old now, where they released some PTR patch notes, but some of it has leaked over into the official game, aka it can now affect the pro meta, right? Pro scene meta, competitive meta, whatever you want to talk about, it's all going to be relative in here, because normally when you see balance updates in Overwatch, the argument is, okay, did Blizzard change this for the pro scene, or did they change this for the competitive plebs who are just complaining that Hanzo's hitboxes are broken, right? Which is not even effective in the pro scene because you see Hanzo like one of every 20 matches. Okay?
Yeah, thank God.
This is, though, I think, and Brett, you can probably speak more to this because you play healers. the changes that they're testing around with Mercy, who's currently still in PTR. This hasn't came out into the regular servers yet. But I feel like this is going to completely shake up how you see the pro scene. Some of the big changes, if you don't know, for example, her ultimate is completely different. Before, she would... and Anuj, I know you don't play a whole lot of Overwatch, but you're familiar with it enough, right? You watch some of the matches. Before, her ultimate was her res. Could res the entire team, which turned into a very poor style of play for Mercy players, because as soon as you got your ulti, you'd hide.
You'd go hide in a corner somewhere.
Go hide in a corner. You know, I'd rather you stay alive than heal someone and get everyone up. And that led to a very boring style of play. You don't want to see that in a pro match, right? To say you're a pro and then you're sitting there in a corner the entire time.
Yeah, and you never see her in the pro meta. Healers are, it's Lucio and Zenyatta. You never see her. But now...
Wasn't she also able to just sit and spawn? And wait it out too?
Yeah, and that was changed. I think that's actually in the regular server now too, where you can't res from spawn anymore.
Like, that's a big problem. Because
there's some maps spawn, like Temple of Anubis, where you could...
Literally just sit and wait.
Spawn and res people. Now,
sorry, go ahead, Brett.
Oh, yeah, Brett.
No, I didn't have anything.
Okay,
go ahead.
So what they ended up changing was now her spawn is on a 30-second cooldown, and she can res one targeted person. Okay, so before res everyone, now it's one person per res, but it's every 30 seconds you can do it.
Yeah, so you can't just bring a whole team back to life.
Yeah, and you know, so you can res one person, and it's on a 30-second cooldown, and then you can ultimate, and it resets. So there's a little bit of like
you can get like a quick one, two.
Do you see this as making her more viable?
I think so.
Right, it is.
Yeah, so we actually had a listener ask about like, do we think this will change up the pro scene meta, or how do you think this will change the meta?
For sure,
dude. I think this is going to have one of the biggest impacts to the meta. Because you are now turning Mercy into a...
more combat.
Yeah, a combat player, right? Before, she would sit in the backfield, just wait for her chance. Now it's...
There was no combat at all prior to this.
Yeah. No, and now it's kind of like, hey, I can be in the thick of things because I have to be so I can res people. Some people say the 30 seconds is too fast. I think only time will tell on that. I think it's way better. And now she's not invulnerable anymore, which right there changes everything. Before, you couldn't even kill her.
And there's more skill. More skill players, like DPS players, are going to maybe gravitate a little bit more to her because her gun does more damage now. Like, she's actually viable in the thick of things in combat. And, you know... So, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, different play there. So I think more people are going to play her. And I can't wait to see, like, when it officially goes through, like, if it's going to change the pro comp, like the pro meta.
One thing I've seen a lot of, and I want y'all's take on this because I really don't know, is I've been seeing a lot of posts recently about Junkrat and his tire. Mm-hmm. What's changing on that that's such a big deal? Because I've seen it kind of nonstop in different videos of how the tire used to be able to go over this and maybe it's not able to, or like what changes were made there?
So some of the things...
It moves faster.
Yeah, so this is live, right? It's things that they have changed with Junkrat is now you have two concussion grenades, where before you only had one, or mines, whatever you want to call them.
Yep.
Now you have two, which changes it up, because think about it, now you can launch yourself up in the air and then drop it in the group. You can
launch potentially from boosting.
And to stay on the topic of the concussion grenade, concussion mine, is that, more to your point, Tim, you can launch yourself in the air, but you also have another, you know, mine there to throw down, like on King's Row. You know, right when you come out of spawn, there's that spot that you always have a Reinhardt holding, the arch.
Mm-hmm.
But now, as a Junkrat, you can launch yourself up in the air, throw one of those concussion mines behind him, and totally knock him off that little choke point. So it makes him more viable, and I like it.
I think the theme with the Junkrat, with the Roadhog updates, which we'll get to in a second, with the Mercy updates, the thing that they're doing is making it to where they can be in the fight longer, right? With Junkrat, having two mines means he can do more damage. He can feel more useful, more viable, as Brett said, in team fights. Where before, basically, once you threw your trap, once you threw your mine, you basically sat there until the cooldowns were done, and you just kind of launched grenades from a distance, where now you can finally do a little bit more in a team fight.
Are these players that you weren't... Characters, I should say. Are these characters that you weren't seeing being used often only in the current meta because of...
Only if you're not Korea.
Right.
Korea can
use everyone.
Junkrat was cool.
But I would say, yeah, consistently. You would see a Junkrat from time to time on certain maps, but consistently, it would be very situational.
They weren't getting
the
play time compared to other characters,
no,
like a soldier
even,
or something like
not
that.
Not even close. Right. Oh, yeah, definitely not even close compared
yeah,
to like a soldier
general,
or anything like that. And now with the Riptire, you asked, it does move 30% faster, and it no longer has a time limit when climbing walls. Where before...
Which is huge.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. Cause before
so you can climb over
just,
anything?
Just about, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, as long as you have the time limit of the bomb not blowing up, right?
Yeah.
The tire blowing up, you can now get over really tall walls or anything like that.
It can
that.
Be used in a more tactical form that
mm-hmm.
way.
Absolutely. So that's something there. And speaking of, like how we said, keeping you in the fight, now Roadhog. Unfortunately, I wanted to see something change with his damage because I felt like that was his real weak point after they nerfed him. Unjustly nerfed him, but that's my bae. But what they ended up doing now is rather than with his take a breather where he would stop and then heal, you couldn't move at all. What they've changed now is that you move around while healing.
It was a double.
Like you can move around. It doesn't automatically move, you're saying.
No, yeah, you can.
You can just run around and heal. Is this all in the PTR?
That's live.
Yeah, that's
no,
live.
No, this is live. Okay. Yeah. They double buffed it, too. Not only can he move and be mobile with his heals, but he takes less damage, too.
Yeah, 50%.
During that
while
time.
While healing.
Yeah.
While healing.
Yeah.
Did anybody but get a major nerf to them?
Well, let me stick with Roadhog. There's one thing that I kind of differ with Tim's opinion. I don't mind, like, rather than four shots, the five shots that he has with his gun. It does go faster, but his thing is to take players out of position, right? So I don't really necessarily... I'm not really necessarily still upset about the damage. Like, his job is to, you know, take players out of position and do a little bit of damage. As a Lucio player, I don't mind it. You know, getting one shot by a...
Yeah,
know, a
I just felt like there were certain characters as a Roadhog, like, where when I hook a Widow, she should die. Like, there should
yeah,
be no question. If you hook certain players, there shouldn't be even a chance. You know?
The 150 and below.
Yeah, it shouldn't be even a question. And to answer your question, Anuj, did anyone really get nerfed? No. I mean, even Orisa, they made her more useful in the sense of her barrier size, her actual deployable shield, which I feel is extremely annoying, is now bigger. It's 20% bigger. Okay? And it's shaped differently to where it's more useful, like on hills and things like that. I felt like her shield, the cooldown, I'm surprised that wasn't even touched on. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. I think the cooldown's ridiculous because by the time you even destroy it, they just deploy the thing again.
Yeah, I am right with you, Tim. I feel like whenever I'm playing against an Orisa, I'm always battling a shield.
Yeah, maybe that's...
Always.
Now, maybe that's always the opinion of a pleb, right? I'm not... I mean, maybe that's the opinion of someone who plays in Diamond. I don't know. But I just feel like... Because I think the shield only has like 900 health, so technically it should be an easy, just quickly get rid of it type of thing. But again, being someone who plays in Diamond, maybe that's just something that
Wait, did
isn't
you say,
coordinated.
Did you say you play in Diamond?
I play in Diamond.
You play in Diamond.
Yeah. Yes.
But hey.
Well,
Tim,
hold on.
I didn't know. I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it the second time. I wasn't sure.
I play in Diamond.
Now, Tim, did you hear the changes, though? Your Diamond rank is no longer safe, buddy.
Brett doesn't
if
play
you, if you drop below if you drop below Diamond rank, you can lose your Diamond rank.
I think that's good because guess what?
Yeah.
I don't drop.
That'd be nice if they did that for CS because then I could like
below.
Still be at LEM yeah. or something.
No,
but you
no.
can drop. You no, should be able to drop. Why couldn't
side
you?
Side note away from the esports, I always thought it was ridiculous that I would see someone Diamond and they would have like 500 less SR than what you were supposed to be for Diamond. I'm like, so what, you peaked once and then just
You had your run.
yeah.
You had your run. And now
what, you find a group
done.
Of friends that carried you, and then they were like, all right, bye, we're done. That's a different rant for a different podcast, that's for sure. But I know, I think overall, I think every change on here was for the better. Like, there's not one real thing here. Now, keep in mind, I will give Blizzard props for not putting Mercy into the regular servers, into the regular pool of play. typically they're notorious for when things go into the PTR to just release them, whether it's balanced or not, which I completely understand.
Well, 99% of games do that, right?
Yes, because, and this is what people don't understand, a PTR is a test realm for bugs to make sure it's not broken, not to make sure it's balanced. Because guess what? They're not going to take the little population that plays in a PTR servers as gospel. Now, with Mercy, it was a little different because it was very obvious that
she's broken.
They, I mean, they've already nerfed her in PTR. Just on the 29th, I think. Right at the end of August, they did where her gun isn't damaged boost in her ultimate in Valkyrie mode anymore. And her flying speed is slower. Where before, as Brett always worded it as being like a helicopter, like she would just fly up in the air. You didn't have to reload and just
spam.
Yeah, just rain down from above. And I think what's also, and we even get into this part about Mercy, the thing that's going to make her very interesting moving forward as far as how teams want to adjust. And I think it was also is going to make good to where if your team's on offense or defense or, you know, control points on where you're at, is now when she's in her Valkyrie mode, which is her new ultimate, okay, basically it turns into the Hulk. For 20 seconds, her healing beam or her damage boost, either way she wants to go, now bounces to everyone in the area. It's not just one person. So she could heal the entire team during a push.
So they took away the mass resurrect, but they have allowed a mass heal or mass damage boost.
Mass damage boost, okay? And now, or if you don't want to do that, your gun is unlimited ammo and you can just shoot massively, right? Before, I think they had the idea of being damage boost so they could feel like they are a fighter. I didn't like that because I feel like you are a support player and you shouldn't have to choose, hey, do I want to go damage or healing? It's like, no, no, you need to support. That's what you're here for.
And she's too good looking to be in that kind of a situation also.
Is she either? You know what? Tweet at the Center Ring all your Mercy cosplays.
All of them.
All just for research, show research. You know, we got to be in touch with the
for
scene.
Science.
You know. But I think them eliminating the damage boost was good. The reason, though, I think the new ultimate is so intriguing with the mass healing or mass damage boost, because what this can complement. Like, think of, like, if you are rocking Mercy and now a Zenyatta, okay? The Zenyatta, his ulti is a mass heal. So you're not going to, if you ulti twice, right, double support ulti, you can now have a mass heal and mass damage boost going if you are rocking a Zenyatta. Or even a Lucio with his sound barrier.
Yeah.
Right? You're just adding all that shield, all basically extra health to people, while Mercy can sit there and damage boost everyone, not really worrying about their health because you have the extra
gives you more options,
support.
Right?
It does, right. And I think that adds, as far as looking at the pro scene, it just adds another layer of strategy,
yeah,
right? It adds another layer of the pro meta or how they want to approach a situation. I think it's for IGLs and Overwatch, I think that's going to add a whole nother layer to what they can do as far as supports and strategy going forward.
Right.
No word as far as when that's going to hit, though. Mercy is going to hit the public servers. I don't think they've said anything. Have they, Brett? I'm looking here at the notes. I don't think they've...
No, I don't think they've said anything, but, you know, I'm glad they're taking their time because she was totally broken.
No, I agree. If that would have hit the main servers, it would have been a mess for Season 6, especially now since they're doing it to where seasons are...
2 months long.
2 months long rather than three. Yeah. It's you can't have something that ridiculously overpowered moving forward. But I'm excited, man. I'm excited to see where the Overwatch pro scene moves with all these patch notes. And I'll kind of use that as a segue right into e-news here. So let's get into e-news. As far as we have a handful of stories here, I want to stick on the topic of Overwatch because it's the Overwatch, the first, I think, don't quote me on this, but first like big
major
North
deal.
American signing. I know South Korea, they've signed teams and players and everything there, but the big North American signing was NRG signed Sinatra, 17 years old, for $150,000.
Yeah, making three times the league minimum.
That's an incredible salary for
that's and that's something that I think Anuj, you mentioned, was worried that the minimum was 50 and that everyone like that was going to be the benchmark. It's kind of cool to see the first big contract is so much more.
You needed somebody to kind of set the standard, right? For your skill of play, this is what mm-hmm. you're worth. Obviously, they believe this guy is very good at what he does, right? Like $150K salary for a game that we're still waiting to really put together their league and show all their cards, which they haven't done yet. They're committing a lot of resources to this one player. You got to think that's like one of, you know, what are the other players on this team mm-hmm. going to ask for? So they made the first move, and I think that's great for him. It's great for the scene because they are showing a level of confidence that they trust where this is headed. You're not going to commit $150,000 to somebody if you are still a little unsure about what's happening.
No, and he's so young, his mom actually had to sign the contract.
That's crazy.
That's pretty awesome.
What were you doing at 17?
Oh, what was I doing at 17? I think I was working at...
Circuit City with me?
I think so.
Probably,
were we
right?
At Circuit City together? I think that had to have been it because that was when, like, right when I graduated high school back in 2007.
We almost made 150.
10 years ago. 10 years ago, man. One other note here. NRG is the San Francisco team, in case you didn't know. Not to get on a rant, I understand they don't want teams using their actual names. They got to figure, there has to be a deadline then because it's very confusing reading articles and you're like, signs with NRG, San Francisco. And it's like, okay, but all this is going to change in like a month.
You're not going to be NRG like, anymore.
You're not going to be NRG. So just call them San Francisco, right? I wish esports writers would just phrase it as he signs with San
Everyone's
Francisco.
Everyone's a little
Overwatch
confused right now. It's just, until that's all ironed out, it's going to be confusing.
It's everyone is writing something different. But that's just my little rant there. In Counter-Strike news, this actually broke right before the show.
Never happens.
Never happens. We never have really up-to-date news on the show.
Now, this is big.
This is huge. And in fact, probably would have warranted a full discussion had I felt like there's something to say.
Had it not happened right before the show. And us
well, it's big news, but at the same time, there's not a whole lot to say. And I'm talking about DreamHack is now following the ECIS rules. Which ECIS,
what does ECIS stand for?
You told me.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Esports Integrity Coalition.
Yes. Or EICS is what it, yeah. So they decided to pair up with them. Basically, in short, what does that mean to you? They're unbanning iBuyPower and any player that falls under their category.
Yeah, so what it does is it sets standards for them, right? So this Integrity Coalition, blah, blah, blah. What it really does is set a standard for gaming. Mm-hmm. So it makes it like if you match fixed, this is your penalty. If you dope, this is your penalty. If you are bribed, this is your penalty, right? So it's not like you can just sit there. You're going to get 2 years for this, but for that same offense, you got back banned. You're going to get 6 months. Like
they're not the NFL.
It sets a standard. Yeah, they're not the NFL. The complete opposite, actually. So they set a standard. DreamHack is on board. It is effective immediately, as far as I know. They had mentioned a couple of tournaments, like the Astro tournament, DreamHack Astro, and all that that's coming up. These guys are able to go. It just gives them more options, right? Kind of to go in line with this, two players that were formerly banned, FXYO and Uzi, just signed with Team Syndicate. That happened right before this announcement. Who knew? Maybe they also like might have had some inside sources
right.
telling
sure
them.
I'm sure they did.
But so
I'm sure all these players knew ahead of time.
They've already signed with the team, and I think this just gives them a lot of options. I think you'll see these players sign with people who have been on big teams before. It just takes them really out of just Valve. Just majors, really, at this point.
Well, I was thinking, so that takes them out of Valve events. E-League still hasn't said one way or the other.
E-League did say that they are going to follow
They're Valve. Following Valve.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
They're following Valve.
I'm saying since this, though, right? This kind of puts more pressure on everyone.
It does. I mean, and you're seeing them join this little coalition.
And then MLG. I don't know where they fall under as far as ownership anymore.
MLG has to allow Adderall.
It's got to be... I'm pretty sure they're still siding with Valve.
But for Counter-Strike, for the Counter-Strike scene as a whole, this opens up about 75%, if not more, of the tournaments out there right now.
I would say...
Big tournaments, right?
I would say this probably frees up 80% of organizations from opening up to the idea of signing you.
Yeah.
Right?
If you're a TSM or you're somebody who does not have a team in Counter-Strike right now, or even, you know, the Splice, Misfits, all these guys that have some money that are not going to make a major anyway, this is a great opportunity because right. you will compete in tournaments with some of these
big
name players.
You want to get your name out there, this is the perfect, easiest way to get yourself into the scene.
You will be a crowd favorite if you sign a couple of these players.
We already mentioned Group A for E-League starts this Friday on TBS.
The groups were announced. Cloud9 always draws SK. Like, it's Cloud9, SK, Na'Vi, and Envious. And on the other end, you got FaZe, Astralis.
Yeah, so, well, no. For this? For E-League?
Yeah, isn't that what they announced? Oh, wait, what tournament is that for? That's for ESL 1 New York. Sorry, the groupings were just announced.
I was about to say, these groups have been announced forever.
Yeah. It's ESL 1 New York that I'm talking about.
Okay, well, we'll get that into a second then. Because for Group A on E-League, that starts Friday. You have FaZe Clan, Na'Vi, G2, and Renegades. We'll do more previews.
Poor Renegades.
We'll do recaps. I don't want to really preview a group stage for E-League at the moment. But yeah, Renegades is
like, good lord.
Huh. You know, it's sad when you're Renegades and you look at FaZe being probably the most beatable team in
like,
that group.
That's our chance.
Like, FaZe is your chance to not get last place. So, hey, best of luck. You know, they ended up qualifying. So they're the Renegades is a funny team because they always end up qualifying for everything, and yet they're the Renegades.
Cloud9 actually got a pretty easy draw. I say easy, relatively easy compared to the other
groups. Well, we'll see how NiP will go and all that. But you were mentioning there that they announced the groups for...
ESL1 New York was announced. So it's the two groups. I think it's just 8 teams altogether, right?
Let's see here.
But I know one of the groups is Envious, FaZe, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah, it's 8 teams. So Group A, SK, Cloud9, Na'Vi, Envious. Group B, FaZe, Astralis, Team Liquid, and Virtus Pro. Which, really, really looking there, I mean, Group B is pretty pathetic.
Yeah.
If you're looking at that group, that's a pretty
Cloud9
pathetic looking
can't
team.
Seem to avoid SK. No. Like, Liquid it doesn't matter.
And it's sad e-news. Anders and Semler's officially, well, I guess Semler officially announced that they are on hiatus for their broadcasting duo. I don't think there was any beef. They announced it on the Scores Esports podcast, which...
Please.
Okay, whatever, if you can even trust them. Second-rate podcast, if you ask me. But he announced that they're basically on a hiatus. I think it's just because Semler wants to do other things in CSGO.
Yeah, he's been doing CSGO for the last, like, 4 years nonstop.
He doesn't
want to
be at the mercy of other, and, you know, probably this might be allowing Anders to do more, right?
Maybe you've seen Anders working with Moses quite a bit. Like, Anders and Moses have been teamed up, which is nice because it's like a play-by-play and a color guy kind of working together.
Right, rather than Semler and Anders where you kind of had both play-by-play guys and sometimes it would step on each other.
Yeah,
I think it will be.
Listen, it's fine. Both, you're not going to notice anything.
Both are amazing at what they do.
Some of the things that Semler says is like, dude.
I love him though. I love them as a duo. I really do.
He and Sadakist. Just some of the things they say are.
Well,
just like,
yes, that's just.
Should you be saying this? I feel like sometimes
they just both talk too much to where it's like, okay.
Like they're speaking out of their butt sometimes, right? But yeah, Anders and Semler are my favorite duo.
They are
personally.
Yeah, I'd agree.
And in other news. Paladins, we all remember that game, right? Announced a Premier League with Hi-Rez and WESA collaboration. So if you wasn't really expecting this news to come out, I figured Paladins was a lost cause, considering it basically notoriously mimicked Overwatch.
How much did they pay us to get in this segment?
No.
So, but they I thought the fact that they... They partnered with WESA, so you have Envious, Fnatic, G2, Mousesports, Na'Vi, Virtus Pro, SK, NiP.
Have any of us played it?
I mean,
well, I say any of us. Have any of you all played it?
I've played it.
I've watched a lot of Paladin.
To be honest,
watch it
a lot.
What's a lot?
What's
like
a lot?
20 minutes? Are we talking 20 minutes, 30 minutes?
No, I've watched streamers play it.
Days.
Like, I've watched several.
I'll let you have that one. Now to our Paladins correspondence.
What I do it,
Brett?
Watch them.
I'll take COD. He can take Paladins.
Right. We'll become official Paladins Premier League podcast. TCR.
Please, no. Don't do that to me.
I played it. I mean, it was okay. It's whatever. Listen, sometimes there's just too many games to follow, and that's going to be one of those that just falls
too many
to the
similar
wayside.
Games, you know?
Right. Like just... And that's kind of what happened to it. It's,
yeah.
It came out around the same time as Overwatch, and it just...
I can tell you, I will never watch competitive.
That's what happens when you're high res trying to compete with Blizzard. Anyways, let me get this. Hold up. Professional broadcasting. Go. All right.
Well,
you're just on point with the production value of this episode.
Hey, man, that's what happens. That's what happens when you have the best like me. I want to thank everyone here for listening to episode 74 of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. I hope you enjoyed the episode. I know we enjoyed it. If you listened all the way through or skipped around, I appreciate it all the same. Again, follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. And if you follow us, if you enjoy the podcast, the best thing you can do is rate
Donate.
Us on iTunes.
Oh, yeah, rate us.
Give us all your money. Share and retweet the show. Spread the word. It's the easiest way. In fact, keep your money. I'd much rather you retweet the show and share the love that is The Center Ring. We also have a Discord that we are pretty active in. We love having conversations.
We're real people. Come and hang out with us. We're always down to play games.
We're just like you.
Yeah.
We're just average people.
Well.
We have a group on Destiny 2 for PS4 and eventually PC. So if you play Destiny and you need a group to hang out with, we're very active.
We're available on both. We'll play with you.
So again, for Anuj and Brett, I am Tim. Thank you so much for listening to The Center Ring, and we'll see you next time.